Good evening. Just a quick question real quick. Raise your hand if you have heard of the apocryphal book called Bell and the Dragon. Bell and the Dragon. Papa has. That makes one. Okay? Raise your hand now if you've heard of this character called Captain America. Have you heard of Captain America? Most people have heard of Captain America. Okay, so it's a big difference there between who knows about Bell and the Dragon and Captain America. Well, I couldn't help but think about Captain America when I was reading Bell and the Dragon earlier. And I want to show you how I made that connection. When you think about the movies that are coming out now from Marvel, there's kind of a series of this first set of Avengers that are out. And the very first one, really, when it comes to the timeline, is Captain America. You got this guy who plays Captain America back in the day for World War II, and then he's in a bunch of movies, and now apparently this last movie is going to be his last time as Captain America. And I know when he is gone, that actor is going to be kind of known as the guy who played Captain America, and we might want to see him kind of reprise that role later on in his life, right? Well, we're going to miss him, is the idea. The character that he kind of has embodied on the screen for us, kind of watching him grow up and us grow up. It's him as our hero, our guy to save the day. Well, for the ancient Jews, their Captain America, if you will, was Daniel. He was the guy that was in the absolute worst of the worst places to be corrupted. If you were going to be corrupted to serve idols and go after women and go after wealth, if you were the elite, the ruling class in the captivities from Babylon and from the Medo-Persian Empire, if you were up there next to the king, that's the worst of the worst places if you're going to try to be holy to the Lord. And yet we look at the book of Daniel, it's just an account of all the time that he said no, I'm going to fear God more than I fear the king. And so he was kind of their hero when it comes to a spiritual thing. And so when the end of Daniel happens and the book is over, you would naturally kind of say, well, what if there was more? And that's what we have two particular books, Susanna and Bell and the Dragon, that were added kind of to the end of Daniel in some translations that kind of continue the story for us. They're not canon, they're not inspired, they're not from God, but they're kind of like, imagine what Daniel would do if he was faced with this situation. How would he respond? And so what I want to do for the next couple of times for our devotional is I want to read a section of Bell and the Dragon for us. And keeping in mind, again, this is not in the Bible for a very good reason. It's a very, very late text. Daniel didn't write this. This is not a true account. This is all fiction, but it's kind of like, what if Daniel, the character, was in these events? So I want to read it together with you just for a little bit. When King Astyages was laid to rest with his ancestors, Cyrus the Persian succeeded to his kingdom. So this is the transition, you might say, between Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire. There's problems here with the dating, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of this is how the story begins, all right? Daniel was a companion of the king, and he was the most honored of all his friends. So again, we're kind of seeing the lofty grandeur here begin, saying, Daniel, this Jew who was taken captive from Israel, is now best friends with Cyrus, the Persian, the king. Now, the Babylonians had an idol they called Bel. That's where Bel and the Dragon comes from, B-E-L. Another name for this guy, by the way, is Marduk. If you see Marduk or Marduk, that's the same kind of god. And every day they provided for it 12 bushels of choice flour, 40 sheep, and 6 measures of wine every single day. The king revered it and went every day to worship it, but Daniel worshiped his own god. So you kind of get the overtones here. Daniel's going to remain faithful no matter what. But again, just it's a little bit more dramatic than it was in the actual book of Daniel. So the king said to him, why do you not worship Bel? And he answered, because I do not revere idols made with hands, but the living God who made heaven and earth and has dominion over all living creatures. So again, just land blast his best friend, King Cyrus here, for going after idols. The king said, "Do you not think that Bel is a living god? Do you not see how much he eats and drinks every day?" And Daniel laughed and said, "Do not be deceived, O king, for this thing is only clay inside and bronze outside. It never ate or drank anything." So here's good old Daniel, the almost fictitious character at this point in time, coming to save the day again from these idolatrous captives. Verse 8. And then the king was angry, obviously, and he called the priest of Bel and said to them, "If you do not tell me who is eating these provisions, you shall surely die. But if you prove that Bel is eating them, Daniel shall die, because he has spoken blasphemy against Bel." And Daniel said to the king, "Let it be done as you have said." And so again, you see this great showdown kind of appear again between Daniel and his God and Bel and the king. Verse 10. Now there were 70 priests of Bel, because of course there were 70, besides their wives and children. So the king went with Daniel into the temple of Bel. And the priest of Bel said, "See, now we are going outside. You yourself, O king, see this. Set out the food and prepare the wine. Shut the door and seal it with your signet. When you return in the morning, if you do not find that Bel has eaten at all, we shall die. Otherwise, Daniel will, who is telling lies about us." So again, the priests are like, "All right, sounds good to us." And then here we have a little side note from the author. They were unconcerned, for beneath the table they had made a hidden entrance through which they used to go in regularly and consume the provisions. And after they had gone out, the king set out the food for Bel, and then Daniel ordered his servants to bring ashes, and they scattered them throughout the whole of the temple in the presence of the king alone. They went out, shut the door, sealed it with the king's ring, and departed. But during the night, the priests came as usual with their wives and children. They ate and drank everything, which is, by the way, a lot of things to eat for 70 people and their families. 40 sheep. Anyway, verse 16, early in the morning, the king rose and came, and Daniel with him. The king said, "Are the seals unbroken, Daniel?" He said, "They are unbroken, O king." As soon as the doors opened, the king looked at the table and cried out in a loud voice, "You are great, O Bel, and in you there is no deceit at all." So you kind of see the embellishment there. But Daniel laughed, which I love, because, you know, of course Daniel laughed here in this version. And he restrained the king from going in. "Look at the floor," he said, "and notice whose footprints these are." And the king said, "I see the footprints of men, of women, and of children." And then the king was enraged. He arrested the priest and their wives and their children. They showed him the secret doors through which they used to enter and consume what was on the table, and therefore the king put them to death and gave Bel over to Daniel, who destroyed it and its temple. That's the end of Act 1. Now, you can see the way I read that was a little bit, hopefully, somewhat humorous, because when you read it, and then you actually read Daniel, they have a little bit different of a feel, don't they? This is probably the most apocryphal book that sounds the closest to an actual biblical text, by the way. There are some wild ones that we have recorded for us, but this one is pretty good. And I think that the original author's intent was not to try to tack on a fictitious story to deceive. I think they just wanted to see their hero, Daniel, defeat another idol god while they were in captivity. This is how they told their stories. This is their Marvel movies. This is their comic books. And so at the end of one particular Greek and Coptic version of the Old Testament, we have this particular thing saved for us, just one. And so it wasn't preserved and recorded by scribes. They knew it wasn't legitimate. But having this story just kind of gives you that feel that they missed maybe one of their heroes. And that's just one small section, and not the most dramatic section of what this book has to say. We're not going to go through it all. It's 14 chapters long. So we're going to go through just a little bit of it. But I wanted to kind of introduce this to you so you have an idea of what it is. And if you treat these books the way they should be treated, with respect and appropriately, and knowing that they're not from God, they can be a good insight into what the people were thinking and needing and wanting to be encouraged by in their ancient day. So tonight, as we are opening up the actual scriptures and learning about God's word, Try to find heroes. Find people that we can emulate, folks that will encourage us to remain faithful, like Daniel, even when he was in the most corruptible position he could have achieved in those foreign empires. So if anyone needs to respond to the invitation tonight, come forward now as we stand and we sing.